his hand and chattered about their trip and him. They had many questions.
Did you really come so far just for the water?
Would you go to Mos Eisley for it?
How much would you pay by the glass in a posh metropolitan setting? Did you really save the store owner's daughter from a rampaging stampede of banthas, as she told us in the Landspeeder?
Hearing that, Annalene looked at Callie, whose shoulders sank in embarrassment. But Callie's imagination and crush were relatively important. At least Callie was sober, as she always was. Jabe seemed to be steadying, but he wouldn't be for long if he followed Vika inside.
The bar is closed, Annalene yelled.
Orin stepped back, waving his hands.
Wow, don't say that too loudly. I'm supposed to be showing these people a good time, and they only got to see half a race.
They'll see a murder if your kids get within a light year of my son again. Orin grasped for her hand. You know I'll make good on the Landspeeder. Just more work for Glomer.
But I really need this, okay?
Annalene groaned, disgusted.
Fine. I'll serve the Deveronians only. But let me go extricate Ben before he decides to never visit this.
She stopped speaking as she noticed Ben's expression from amid the group of visitors. Orin noticed it too. Something wrong, friend? The man looked back at the store, eyes narrowing. He started to speak when the side door burst open. Bomer appeared in the doorway of the claim, his big dark eyes bulging. He tripped on the stoop and fell forward, revealing the dagger protruding from his back. And the giant Tusken Raider standing behind him. Chapter 16. They had approached the oasis from the northeast. The passage had been difficult, but Ayak had studied the problem closely. There was no other way. The warriors had spent 3 days on a long, looping approach from the pillars, stopping only to overnight in quickly erected and, just as quickly dismantled, huts constructed of canvas and bantha ribs. Ayak had made a gambit based on the suns themselves. Whatever their failings, the Sky Brothers' movements were reliable. The accursed shadows told the wise Tusken much, not just the time of day, but also the time of year with great accuracy. And near this day in past years, a Yark had seen travelers making pilgrimages to the northwest, like creetles drawn to a corpse. Was it some sort of rite? A curious raider had followed once, reporting back a great gathering where settlers paid homage to their bloated hut gods with games and spirits. It was vile foolishness to a Yark, who nonetheless saw an opportunity. As larger vehicles began traversing the desert, taking supplies northwest, a Yark had inferred that the next fete day was near. An opportunity to find the oasis lightly defended. The Tuskens had infiltrated the compound in pairs, hiding behind the barn buildings. The structures were large enough to screen the movements of many, and a Yark had brought many indeed. All the warriors had come. The aged, the injured, even son Adin on his first hunt. Only the women and children tending the banthas had remained behind. From a surveillance perch atop one of the barns, a Yark had seen the airshaper and hairy face in the main building. Alone, or close enough. It was perfect. Perfect. Until the first Landspeeder had appeared from the northwest, early and unbidden. A Yark had recognized the newcomer as the settler vehicle that had arrived first during the assault on the farm days earlier. Two Landspeeders followed behind, including the shining vehicle of the Smiling One. Undeterred, a Yark had leapt from the rooftop and started the charge. The Tuscans still had superior numbers and surprise. They had caught all their enemies at once. Warriors streamed across the livestock yard, toward and into the buildings. A Yark hooted. There was no need for a command. The others knew. Find the airshaper and kill the rest.
Tuscan!
Orin pulled his blaster from his shoulder holster. He'd only worn it to impress the Deveronian investors. Now he fired it into the doorway of the claim. The rifle-toting warrior ducked back inside and began returning fire. The Deveronian stood mystified, perhaps thinking the event was a frontier entertainment staged by Orin. That ended when one of them took a rifle blast to the chest. Orin screamed for the others to get down with him, using his vehicle for cover. To his right, Zed and Mullen drew their blasters. To his left, Vika and Jabe hid behind the wrecked Sportster. A savage in the compound was a sobering sight, to be sure. Orange fire painted the approach to the building.
Hold your fire!
From his position along the outside wall near the doorway, Ben pointed at Bomer. The Rodian, knife still in his back, was clawing at the dust, trying to pull himself forward, even as the blaster bolts blazed above him. Orin gawked at Ben.
Hold fire now?
But Ben was already on the move. Whipping off his cape, the man spread it like a net and hurled it toward the doorway in one swirling motion. The Tuscan's rifle bolts followed it upward. Ben dived downward, tumbling across the narrow field of fire. Reaching Balmer's side, Ben took hold of the Rodian and heaved. A second later, both figures were huddled against the sinstone wall, just to the left of the open doorway. The Tuscan blazed away again, raking the place where Balmer had fallen. Hiding behind her downed landspeeder with Callie, Annalene yelled to Orin,
"Don't shoot! You'll hit Ben!"
Orin sent her a plaintive look. Vika and Jabe had retrieved their weapons from her vehicle and were firing wildly. It was clear from the ruckus that the Tuscan in the store was definitely not alone. There was no telling anyone to cease fire, not now. Ben seemed to know he was on his own too, as he struggled to drag the bleeding Rodian back away from the firing zone and toward the